say this is Christmas. Sorry to ring some tunes. What have you done? Another year over. It's enough. Not really Christmas. In Germany, they got it on the 24th. So anyway, yeah, come back to being serious. Do not laughing. So, yeah, all this stuff about Christmas and other things where we get sentimental and where we get kind of nostalgic and where we get kind of like a bit like cozy with memories and things like that. It's kind of maybe good for a little game in the mind or so, but like if it becomes something that we feel like we really long for, then there's various ways of moving away from these attachments and in a sense. But like we can't really force ourselves not to like something on the spot. We can't force ourselves to be kind of disenchanted on the spot, or we can't kind of force this kind of restraint that it needs to be kind of happy with what one has. Can't force that to be. So it's lots of factors coming together. Lots of factors around being a samana that gradually take hold of oneself, one's interests and the things that one reaches out for, and part of the things that prevents us from going too much outside is like to look inside regularly rather than constantly keeping one's eyes open. One can also shut them, not for having big naps or so, but like for shutting off the inner chatter and outer experiences, for coming to peace with what there is. And this is in many ways like what we long to experience, is like an independence from the outside world and fully resting in ourselves. It's not so easy to have that in the moment, and there are many situations where we have to deviate from this rest and go into restlessness for a while and then realize what we're doing and then come back. But I think it hinges very much on our love of peace generally. It's not a love for experience and not a love for new sights, sounds, and or old sights, old sounds revived or so. Like it's more or less it's a love for simplicity and going back to nature, as Lopaliam would say, the things that are around us anyway, and we don't have to add up much, add on to it. It's all there, right here. Many ways, like say living together with ants, geckos, spiders, and the wind, and the moon, and the sun, and all these things, like they're constantly giving us enough of life to face and enough of life to learn from. So what's the point of running here and there and finding this and that and getting other things into one's psyche and other things into one's mind? It's kind of like gradually getting disenchanted with those things that other people are excited or sentimental about. Something that you can very much observe with elder monks, and of course they're not kind of as youthful and outgoing and as kind of easily enthusiastic as young 20, 30 years old ones. And it's kind of they radiate a lot of kind of groundedness and wisdom. They don't have to be particularly gang in or particularly outstanding, I think. So many times you see elderly monks that have sometimes even long tasks, you know, that have ordained late in life, and they've got this kind of sense of being fed up with what they've been doing before, whether it's family or career as a teacher or a soldier, or so they seem to have seen it all, and then just more or less like quite happy just simply to walk John Crom and simply to enjoy nature, even though it may not be so joyful for them sometimes. Gets a bit aching and painful. But like the whole feeling of imle, or I'm just already full and I actually don't want to eat anymore. I don't want to have the burden of like even opening my mouth, this kind of thing, or not wanting to go anywhere. The true disenchantment in that sense, that one is not looking for distraction and not looking for activity. And we can build that up through samana sanya quite well, and reflecting on the requisites, for example. It's a very good exercise over the day to be aware of the things that one is using, for example, being aware of how one's using it, and including those parts of the material world that we have to get into contact with in our wise reflections and in our sense of relating to them with a sense of body and a sense of not craving, and just being resting in satisfaction with what we have. Something we train sometimes through training rules, sometimes we've got like restrictions about what we can have and what we can keep, and then there's things that are not so obvious because there are no training rules around it, say modern things like whatever, traveling or telephoning or things like that. They're not included, of course, but like at some point, like the spirit of the training rules just gradually takes on its own dynamics, and even though every now and again there's some things to experience in the modern world, it doesn't really bring up that sense of really longing for it anymore. And this is something that I think, without claiming great achievements, we can observe in certain areas bit by bit. It's not something that comes as a kind of big breakthrough in one go, that you're suddenly completely aloof of liking certain things that you liked before. But I think it comes bit by bit, and to be able to observe that when one's got certain feelings of dispassion for certain areas already, and just kind of living happily with that. It's kind of a reflection on how we're leading our lives, how we're living. And I think it helps build up more and more barami, nekama barami, to let it all go. This kind of thing of nekama, like to let it all go, is something like many times that it's a bit unpleasant to think of, like this kind of feeling of one should let things go, one should just simply let things kind of be, and but yet one still has certain like needs and desires or so. So how to approach that in a good way, in one really feels one doesn't even really get bothered of wanting the things that before one was craving for. I think it's to, you know, like wisely experiencing the things where you get little happinesses of being happy and with what you have and satisfied, and gradually reducing the points where one loses the plot and where one gets carried away. And this is more or less many areas we do have time for ourselves, and we can actually determine what we want to do with it. Do we want to have a quiet time, or do we want to have a chat, or do we want to do something in the material world, and even if it's only something as wholesome as cleaning up the workshop or the sewing kuti or the library, it can still be kind of an expression of that we actually don't want to really reduce our activities in that moment. So to watch out for those fine points of restlessness, and go back to the sense of actually I'm alright, I don't bother to do anything too much. I find that's very, very wholesome to observe that when it comes and when one feels like one actually really say, if somebody tells one you could go on a trip, one is happy, and if one tells one you cannot go on a trip, one is equally happy to come to that point where one doesn't actually seek the excitement of new experiences. And I think it goes hand in hand with many times, like with formal practice as well. If one uses the time that one has for not putting new things in, more or less shutting down the senses, and or like reducing one's radius activity simply to 10 to 12 meters up and down, or how much is it? 18 maybe, 18 to 20 meters up and down, or walking around and in a circle around the Jedi in Papong, for example, not going anywhere else. Like these things, one drums it in that we actually don't need to go very far. We don't need to look around very much. And to start classically and to start with the things that are recommended and that are there for restraining ourselves from the Kawats, by the Kawats and by the standards that the Ajahns have done before. I think that's also something that makes one actually slow down and makes one actually kind of appreciate more what one has rather than looking for new things. And so it all goes together. One feels kind of happy and relaxed and sufficient with the things that one has. And every now and again, when one craves for more, and then one's got certain parameters, like that, it's a bit shameful to take too much of the French fries, for example. How does it look? How do the other people think? And it's, or like whatever, like there's many other things around it, like one can't help oneself to something that one isn't entitled to, quite clearly. Or there's things to look at and things not to look at, and there's parameters around it that also help it to contain us in that sense of we're doing the right thing and we're doing it in an experienced way, in a way that's been approved of. And then all the variety of spreading one's wings and trying things out and being a bit, what's it, eclectic around things, maybe comes later, and there's no need to panic that one won't have that. Say, the thing about combining Christmas and metta meditations or whatever, quantum physics and paticca-samuppada and whatnot, you know, this can wait, I think. If we keep that those ideas that are reaching out far and combining the world with what we're trying to simplify, keep them for when they gradually have to come up anyway into our vision or into our radius of activities. It's fair enough if we're already grounded, if we've already got our basis in knowing exactly the skills, how to use the things that we have. So that's the reason why we don't go back to the West or back home or so before 5 years or so, or like even then later, where we don't give great Dhamma talks in our Majjhima years and things like that, where you have to expound your own view on things, and or like there's lots of protective like factors through the Kawat where we actually can sometimes think that they're a bit like restricting us and we're forced to let it all go, even though we want to kind of be creative or so, but actually the protection for us to making that what we really treasure deeply, then very solid before we kind of lean out and bend out forwards. This is famous saying that Lopo Liam quotes a lot, like Endu Kao En Lao Khad. It's actually meant for relating to women folks, of course. So it means like if you bend over backwards too much, your back will break. If you stretch your sinews too much, you know, like, which doesn't make sense, but in like it's a pun, but like it means like not to kind of reach out too far. And it can say if we're not standing yet, like, you know, we're trying to kind of reach out somewhere else, then we might fall over. So if we see something that's pleasant, or like have a conversation with somebody that we really like, and whether it's male or female, or young or old, or siladhara or laywoman or whatever, you know, like just to be careful not to bend over too much and lean over too much, and to break one's back with that, and to keep oneself grounded first, and really be sure that one actually doesn't need this kind of like whatever sympathy or interaction or like that, those vibes, or like, you know, the sentimental feelings around certain areas, maybe sometimes, you know, memories or so. Be sure that we can live without that first, and then when they later come, I think we can be much more secure or grounded in ourselves. It's kind of this famous thing of being a refuge to yourself, like this means more or less like a refuge, like not too many diversity, many diverse things outside, but like you're more or less like able to stand on your own feet and know your stuff well, and know your habits well, and know when it gets kind of critical, and know when it's very, really, really actually very wholesome, when you're actually kind of feeling you're well in the plus with your own lifestyle. And many of us have, of course, had many experiences of disillusionment with the world and frustration, and one cannot be too sure that these are all really coming from true inside. And sometimes it's just the sense of self being a bit humiliated, say love stories or so, broken hearts, you know, in Thailand they say you're ordained because you've got a broken heart or so. In a way it's true, all of us somehow have been disappointed, but like there's more than just the immediate frustration through not getting what one wants from the senses, but it has to come from a real love for getting away from these things that are making like spinning our life stories further, and love for having it less complicated, and love for making things more natural and more grounded and more sustainable for our own sake. And and it's perfectly all right to do these things for oneself, like perfectly all right not to have something great to add to the world history, or to write your own biography, or have your own photo album or so. Like, there's no need for that actually really in the world. So just to kind of have that humbleness. Sometimes our friends in Isan, they're equipped with a much less baggage of self-love and self-cherishing than we, like we've been growing up with, like actually promoting ourselves quite a bit. And so just to step away from that and just bring it back to nature. And many times I'm not sending the mind out, but sending it in. And if there's something that the mind wants to think, to keep it with the body and keep it with the things that are tangible, rather than sometimes maybe too lofty and too far away. And this is a very good thing to walk John Crum and see how one's feet are touching the earth, or how, if one likes to imagine things, then maybe imagine your skeleton and think of your sinews before they break, things like that. You know, it's kind of good ideas about, and that one can develop with staying in the realm of grounding oneself, then rather than kind of diversifying and going outside. So thinking about like if we all call our parents today or whatnot, or tomorrow, and or like sons and daughters and ex whatever, you know, brothers, sisters, you know, you might want to call all kinds of people, and then you get all the kind of possibly they dump their sentiments on you possibly. And then if we're really grounded and we really love like this kind of thing, you know, you get the wind howling and the kites singing, and you know, the cicadas every now and again or whatever, you know, sometimes we can actually enjoy the life in this small radius of activities that we have here. And other people that are living in the world of diversity, they won't be able to actually calm down enough to appreciate it, they won't be able to see the details and the beauty and the simplicity. So there's only so much that we can actually communicate if we want to say something meaningful, say to our mother or father on Christmas or New Year. It's very difficult to find the things that, because they're living on this high plateau of hyperactivity many times, even though there's a slight chance if people get older that they'll be getting less carried away with things. But every now and again one is surprised how much attachment there is. And many times elder people like to talk about the past. And so it can take all kinds of facets, the craving for having diverse experiences or having more experiences. And if there's not more in the pipe, then we go back to what we've been doing before and revive it again. We share it with others and we feel even better about it. And it's kind of funny, like instead of just simply dropping it and being quiet and just like listening to the birds and to your own alarm clock ticking in the kuti or so, which is kind of much more beautiful and simple. And so I hope that we have some time to contemplate, and around the next week, it's exactly 7 days till it's New Year, and it's a time when many times people do feel a bit of like rethinking of what one has been doing, and so what have we done, and not in the sense of like being hard upon oneself, but just like in the sense of using wise contemplations and possibly feeling a bit more, you know, grounded in skillful means, like through reflecting on what one has been doing and how one has been kind of leading one's life or leading on to new activities over the last year. And it's difficult if one lives in the present completely, one wouldn't come up with ideas, but it's very easy if one's not in the present and constantly to think about what one's doing, what one has done. And so these things may come up, and to wisely reflect and to ground oneself in the classics, use the framework of the monk's life in an appreciative form and in a podi form, in a way where one actually feels quite satisfied with what one has, and instead of making big new plans. So that's what I wish for our New Year's time, and so this is my offerings for our contemplation tonight.